Usually when we talk about like a specific professional skill, we kind of expect this level of engineering precision.
Right, like it should be black and white.
Exactly. Like if you break your arm, you get an X-ray, and there's just this clear, white, jagged line, and
Right.
the doctor just points at it and says, "Look, right
Yeah,
there."
it's either broken or it's not. No debate.
Clean, simple, no arguing.
And that kind of binary clarity is, it's really comforting. Our brains are basically hardwired to crave that visualization, you know?
Why?
We want to categorize things neatly.
We really do. We love absolute answers. But the thing is, the second you step foot into the world of investing and wealth management,
Oh, yeah.
that comforting X-ray machine just completely breaks down.
It's gone.
You think you're going to see this clear skeletal structure of the market, but instead you're just staring at this chaotic mess of noise, extreme emotions, totally conflicting data, and like a million experts contradicting each other.
It's essentially total murky waters.
Definitely. And most people are just thrashing around blindly in that water, grabbing at anything that even looks like a life raft.
Which is exactly why people confuse short-term luck with long-term skill,
Yeah.
right? Or they just let the blinking red and green numbers on their screens rob them of their ability to actually think critically.
Exactly. So to keep you from just drifting along in that murky water, we're taking on a pretty massive mission today. We are going after the ultimate holy grail of investing.
The famous long slope, thick snow strategy.
That's the one. And to really decode it, we're digging into this fascinating stack of five recent articles. And what I love about these sources is they don't just bore you with dry theory.
Right. They actually put two absolute titans of the investing world under the same microscope.
Yeah, Warren Buffett and Juan Yangping. Our mission here is to extract the actual mental models these billionaires use to evaluate businesses.
And more importantly, show you how to apply those exact frameworks to cut through all the market noise yourself.
Whether you're analyzing a single stock or evaluating an entire industry you want to work in.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because before we even start comparing these two masters, we have to define the core concept that actually unites them.
The metaphor itself.
Right. What actually is long slope, thick snow?
What's fascinating here is how perfectly this metaphor captures the actual physics of value investing. It completely shifts your focus away from daily stock
Which
prices.
is where most people get stuck.
Exactly. It shifts it entirely onto the sustainable long-term mechanics of a business. So if we break the metaphor down, the long slope refers to a massive sustainable market space.
The track you're running on.
Right. And the thick snow,
Wow.
that represents really thick profit margins.
So if I'm picturing this for the listener, imagine you're at the top of a hill rolling a snowball. If the hill is short, like you just don't have enough slope, it just stops growing.
Yeah, the game is over before it really begins.
Right. And if the snow is really thin, you might be rolling it for miles, but you just end up with this giant, useless ball of mud and rocks. That is the perfect way to visualize a company in a low-margin industry. The bigger they get, the heavier and more burden they become.
Because they're just picking up dirt.
Exactly. But when you combine a long slope and thick snow, the snowball effect creates these massive, undeniable competitive barriers. And the sources point out four specific industries that naturally fit this track.
Oh, right. Consumer goods, pharmaceuticals, technology, and education.
Yep. And if you think about it, the logic is pretty unshakable. Biologically, we always need food and medicine. And developmentally, we're always chasing tech advancements and needing to educate the next generation.
They're just permanent human needs.
They really are. But Buffett takes this a step further and gives the thick snow this really cold mathematical definition. He says it's continuous profitability combined with a low capital requirement.
Wait, low capital requirement. I feel like that's the part normal investors totally gloss over.
It's the most crucial detail. Think of it like this. Imagine two companies both make $10 million this year. The first one is a heavy steel mill. To make that same $10 million next year, they have to immediately spend $9 million on new furnaces and factory repairs.
Oh, so they don't actually get to keep the money.
Exactly. But the second company is, say, a software firm or a dominant consumer brand. They also make $10 million, but they only need to spend like $100,000 on server maintenance or basic operations.
Wow.
The other $9.9 million is pure free cash flow. That's Buffett's low capital requirement in action.
It's basically like planting a magical apple tree. It just gives you hundreds of apples every year, but you never have to buy an expensive fertilizer. It just does the work.
Exactly.
So Now that we know what the metaphor actually means, let's look at the shared DNA between Buffett and Dwan. Because before their strategies diverge, they actually agree on some massive foundational principles.
They do. Their core consensus is the bedrock of everything. First, they both truly believe that investing is about buying a piece of a business.
Not just trading a stock ticker.
Right. You're buying the employees, the products, the supply chain, and its ability to generate that free cash flow we just talked about. And because of that, they absolutely demand a margin of safety.
Meaning you don't overpay, so if you're a little wrong about the future, you don't lose your shirt.
Precisely. But there's a non-negotiable trait they both look for that really stands out: pricing power.
Oh, I found this part so interesting. It's not just about, hey, we can raise our prices.
No, it's the ultimate stress test for an economic mode. True pricing power means a company can raise its prices and not lose a single customer to a competitor.
Right, like if a bottled water brand raises their price by a dollar, I'm just going to buy the other brand next to it. It's just water.
Exactly. But if Apple raises the price of the iPhone, people are still going to camp outside the store to buy it.
They complain, but they still buy it.
Yep. That psychological grip on the consumer, that's the thickest snow you can find.
And that leads right into what they both absolutely hate: speculation. In Dwan's 2025 warnings, he is brutal about this. He explicitly says industries with overcapacity have zero investment value.
He's very firm on that.
He argues that competitive barriers are way more important than how fast a company is growing. Like, you can run fast down the slope, but if you don't have armor, one rock will take you out.
That's a great way to put it.
But the thing that really caught my eye in his warnings, he refuses to invest in things he doesn't understand, and he actively warns people to beware of trendy buzzwords.
Which is fascinating, because Buffett has the exact same allergy to buzzwords. He calls it the yo-yo effect.
The yo-yo effect.
Yeah, where the market just invents these grand themes like the metaverse a few years ago or all the AI hype right now. Mm. Capital just violently bounces up and down, chasing those trends.
But wait, I have to push back here, because isn't the entire modern market basically driven by theme words and hype right now?
It certainly feels that way.
Right. So how are you supposed to just ignore all that and only look for a moat? Isn't that just being completely stubborn and out of touch with how the world works today?
I get why it looks that way, but true value investors ignore that noise because they know a fundamental truth. Real businesses don't change their underlying nature in 90 days.
Ah. Buffett's 90-day rule?
Exactly. One flashy earnings report or a viral buzzword doesn't suddenly give a company pricing power. The 90-day rule basically asks, if the stock market closed tomorrow and you couldn't check prices for 90 days or even 5 years, would you still feel safe owning this business?
So they aren't ignoring innovation. They're just refusing to be swept up by speculation that has no actual moat.
Precisely. A real economic moat protects you from the exact overcapacity and hype that ends up destroying those trendy buzzword companies.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because they agree on all this foundational stuff: cash flow, safety, no speculating. But when they actually put on their glasses to look for that thick snow in the real world, they see totally different things.
Yes. It's a massive ideological clash. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's really two completely different ways of measuring safety.
Okay, break that down for us.
Well, Buffett looks at thick snow purely through the lens of profitability. And because of how strict he is about that, he leans heavily into traditional industries.
Right. He's like the ultimate classic toll bridge owner.
Mm-hmm.
He sits at the bridge and he doesn't care if it's made of new tech or old wood. He just knows that for the last 50 years, everyone crossing has paid the toll and they'll keep paying it.
Exactly. He wants guaranteed traditional cash flow, things like Coca-Cola or See's Candies.
But Dwan is totally different.
Completely. Dwan's lens is entirely focused on user value. He believes that user value is the actual core of the long slope, thick snow concept.
So he's looking at the internet and new consumption sectors. He's like this modern tech visionary.
Yeah. Dwan believes that if you build undeniable user value, like if millions of people are spending hours a day in your ecosystem and literally can't leave, the financial profitability is just a natural byproduct.
It just follows automatically.
Exactly. Buffett finds his safety looking backward at historical financial predictability. Dwan finds his safety looking forward at modern user loyalty and engagement.
Okay, so that philosophical split naturally leads to a massive clash in how they actually execute their trades, right?
Or the portfolio management couldn't be more different.
The sources show that Buffett is all about extreme concentration. He finds his few toll bridges and goes all in. But Dwan prefers a much more diversified allocation.
And their exit strategies are polar opposites. Buffett famously says his favorite holding period is forever.
Right.
But Dwan, he's completely willing to make flexible adjustments. He'll actually sell on highs.
Okay, hold on. This is where I spotted a huge contradiction in the materials.
Let's hear it.
Dwan explicitly says in his 2025 principles that long-term holding is superior to frequent trading.
He does say that.
But he also diversifies, he stays flexible, and he literally sells on highs. Meanwhile, Buffett just buys and sits on it forever. Is Dwan secretly just a speculator playing the market?
This raises a really important question, and it's where a lot of people misunderstand value investing. We have to separate frequent trading from adjusting a position based on its value.
How do you separate them?
Well, selling on a high isn't speculation if the underlying business's snow has started to melt, or if the valuation has gotten so crazy that it's lost its safety margin.
Oh, so he's not guessing what the stock price will do tomorrow.
Exactly. He's looking at the business. Buffett can hold forever because he requires absolute concentration in unshakable traditional moats. People are always going to drink soda and ride trains.
The snow never melts there.
Right. But Dwan's focus on tech in the internet, that requires a much more dynamic approach to risk.
Mm-hmm.
User value in tech can shift rapidly. So his flexibility is actually risk management, not speculation.
That makes so much sense. He's just navigating a totally different terrain. So what does this all mean for you listening to this right now? You obviously don't need billions of dollars to use this framework.
Not at all. It's a mental model for everyday decisions.
Right. Whether you're choosing a completely new career path or starting a small business or just trying to invest your savings intelligently, you should always be looking for your own long slope,
which is a growing field or market.
Exactly. And your own thick snow, which could be your unique skills or pricing power in your freelance rates. And above all, avoid the yo-yo effect of just chasing daily hype.
Finding your own thick snow is critical. But I do want to leave you with one final kind of provocative thought that wasn't directly answered in the sources.
Oh, I like the sound of this. What is it?
We've established that the long slope thick snow strategy relies entirely on massive, stable market spaces and sustainable barriers.
Right. The snow has to stay cold.
Exactly. But what happens when rapid technological shifts like the explosion of AI act like a sudden global heat wave?
Oh, wow.
In a world where entire industries and traditional moats can be disrupted almost overnight, can a true forever business even exist anymore?
That is a terrifying question.
Right. It really makes you wonder if Dwan's flexible, dynamic approach to user value will eventually become the only way to survive in the market.
The ultimate heatwave survival guide. Well, that is definitely something to chew on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. Keep looking for your own thick snow out there, and we'll catch you next time.